Today, I would like to share with you one of my favourite psalms, Psalm 103. I've actually got many favourite psalms, Psalm 23, 91, 112, 1. But anyway, let's look at this one. And it's interesting, the testimonies that have been shared today, because already, and even the songs, if you've been hearing and listening, I always like to listen, what's the Lord really wanting to say to us today? And I think he wants us just to remember all of the benefits that he has provided for us. And in Psalm 103, we get those. So, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Praise the Lord and forget not his benefits, who has forgiven us of our sins, who has healed us of our diseases, who has redeemed our life from the pit, who has crowned us with these loving kindness and tender mercies, or loving compassions, as in the NIV, and who satisfies your desires with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. We are forgiven, healed, restored, favoured, and renewed. Isn't this beautiful? And you know what I like about that forgiveness of sins? It's that God now treats us as though sin never existed. Because when you read it there, David talked about, blessed is the man in whom God does not impute his sins, and whose lawless deeds he remembers no more, or are forgiven. And that is that Greek word. Look, I've got to do a Percy. Percy always says, make sure you put a Greek word in. Apiami. And it means that the penalty's removed and the power is broken. And there's another Greek word that sort of talks about God blotting out our sins. And you've got to understand, you know, if you get a stain and, you know, mum uses nappy sand to get rid of it, there's still a sense that there was a stain there before. But the blood of Jesus has wiped away our sins that you don't even know that there's a stain there anymore. Oh, come on, people. The language that God uses to try to get across what the finished work of Jesus Christ has done for us, sometimes, you know, can do your head in, so to speak, in a nice way, that, wow, you've done that for me, Lord. You have decided that my sins are blotted out, so therefore you will now treat and deal with me as though sin never existed, because he's answered and dealt with the sin issue in his son Jesus Christ. What a benefit to know that we are forgiven, that we are healed, that we are restored, favoured and renewed. Now this last one, renewed, it says, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Interesting what the different versions say. So NIV, satisfies your desires. King James says, satisfies your mouth. And the New American says, satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I had a little look at this a little bit more, and you can sort of see that even the translators were trying to put across this benefit of renewal, and that David was crying out from his heart as he was praising his Lord. Because don't forget, David wrote the song as an older man after he'd, you know, killed Goliath, been made king, all these things that had happened in his life. You can read all about David's life, and he's gone and written this psalm. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. One of the words, therefore, in satisfies your desires or your mouth or your years, says, is adi, and it means excellent mouth or ornament. And it's from an original word, adaya, in the sense of trappings, finery, jewelry, and outfits, specifically a head store. And I was just thinking about how, in a sense, God begins to ornament your life with these benefits, with these good benefits. You're forgiven. You're healed. You're favoured. You're restored. Our brother sharing about his favour that he got on the plane, despite his circumstances and dire things that he's got to go and deal with there with family, God has ornamented his life, if you like, with those good things. and like they talk there about the youth, and it's like it says it's a boy, and you think of the kids running around playing free as anything outside, and you know, sometimes they roll over in the ground and they get back up and they keep going and keep tumbling. That's the sense of the renewal of God in your life. And one of the things it even talks about there, like it's like the rustling of a mane, the roaring of a lion. Let's think about it. If you're under condemnation, feeling of condemnation because of your sin, when we are struggling with sickness and we're lying up on our bed with the sickness, it's sort of like we're disconnected and cut it off from life. And when we experience forgiveness, when we experience healing, when we experience God's favor, it's like he gives us back our roar in life. You feel re-energized, you feel renewed. And you know, the righteous are as bold as a lion, the Bible talks about. You can be bold again. You can be bold in the presence of people, and you can be bold in the presence of our Heavenly Father. Come boldly to the throne of grace in your hour of need, that you may obtain the help you need. You don't have to be afraid, oh, will God, you know, what's God going to do with me? No. Know that he has forgiven you. Know these things. I always think of the time when Jesus was on earth, and there was that woman that was bent over. For 18 years, it said, she was bent over. And I suppose the pessimists amongst us would say, oh, isn't that sad, and woe is for her. The optimist would say, oh, well, at least she must find a lot of money on the ground. But Jesus was in the temple that day, and he looked at her and saw her in her condition and said, woman, you are free from your condition. Stand up. And she did. And what surprises me is that the teacher, or the head guy of the synagogue, he started saying, did you not know that there are 6 days in which you can work? This woman should have come during the week to be healed. She had the condition and was in his church for 18 years. And here Jesus has come along to their place of worship, and she has experienced a miracle in her life, bent over for 18 years, and all he can do is think about the law. How can someone with a law mindset receive from our Heavenly Father and Lord? Wouldn't you be rejoicing? One of your members has been free. We rejoice. Our brother gets business class. We rejoice. Others get to go on great holidays and everything works out well. We rejoice with you. When you are received a favor from the Lord, it encourages us and inspires us. We are so glad and happy. Oh, but that guy, oh, 6 days for you to work. Oh, he's thinking of performance and working for God. But he's grace himself sitting in front of you to be extended to you. And that is how he is thinking. Come on now. Just put in this lady here. Her name is Vilma. I call her Microwave Woman, and you'll know why soon. I just help a nurse who lives in Logan, and she has a foundation called Joshua Care. And the idea of Joshua Care is to assist real poor people out of poverty through education. So we have families that sponsor their children to go to school, and it's more than just giving them an education. It goes to a Christian school, because we sort of believe, let's face it, you can give someone education and that helps, but when you get connected to Jesus Christ, the giver of life, the source of life, it really has that redemption lift concept of lifting up a person's life. And we've seen some of the kids go through now. I think this is the 13th year. Some of them have finished university and become CPA accountants and engineers, and they're now helping their families and that. But it's like anything. Here you are sponsoring the kids to go to school, and sometimes you can get a little bit caught up in some of their own personal needs. So this lady here, she had a lot of pain in her abdomen area here, and she comes along to the church, and we've had to pray for her a couple of times. In the end, it was found out that she has cancer in her uterus and reproductive organs, and that was ended up being a thing. Now, she's poor as anything, and our foundation obviously doesn't have the money to pay for everyone's medical procedures, because along with her, there's the line's so long that you need the budget of a government to help everyone. So there she is. She's in her little shack. She lives in something about 3 metres by 3 metres, about the size of most of our bedrooms. And, you know, she's one of the sisters of the Lord. And eventually we're able to come and help her. And this is the treatment that they end up doing. This is what I call the microwave woman. They've actually gone and sort of, like, that's supposed to be some sort of radiation treatment that somehow she got. And I was really upset when, I'll just take that photo off, a bit disturbing. I was just a little bit upset when I saw that photo and I heard of that. And I went into my bedroom and I said, Lord, I'm a bit upset about that, how she's been treated and how this whole situation and circumstance is going, actually. And it's easy from a human perspective when you're faced with things like this to really feel downcast and be overwhelmed by the situation. But then the Spirit of God rose up within my heart and he said, don't look at the photo. Don't see my daughter in that way. You see her in my finished work and what I have done for her. And I noticed that when Jesus was on earth, that woman bent over, he said, stand up, woman. Jesus saw people in the finished work. And that's why he was always wondering, when you read about Jesus, why is he so rested, Lord, about these things? He's not there, shut up, out you demons, blah, 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 get healed. You know, he's not really working anything up. He just seems very rested in his Father's love. My wife says it really well. She told me, we put all our cares and anxieties at the feet of Jesus, but we ourselves rest in the bosom of his love for us. And I said, dear, that's beautifully well said. We got to remain in that position of rest. Like John, lean back on the bosom of Jesus. And he was just rested in knowing of his Saviour's love for him. Thank God for good wives filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, that all of our wives would be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak to us like this. And all the husbands said,
amen.
Yes. So anyway, as you can see, her house, it's really exciting, and the water dripped. She was lying in her bed and it would drip down, and she was telling the story of how she catches the water in her little tubo there. In the Filipinos call it a tubo. It's a little bucket sort of thing. And that's her son there that we're sponsoring. And I was here in Australia, and this very wealthy man that I know was going to the Philippines, and he said, on the way from the airport, I will stop and buy materials to rebuild her house. And so her house is all being rebuilt, still just in timber and tin and that. But I was just thinking, here's this woman, poor woman, doesn't have the resources, doesn't have what it's needed, facing a challenge in her life. Yet the Lord loves her, and the Lord saw her, and the Lord knows what she needs, and the Lord has been her help. Where can my help come from? But only from the Lord. I look to the hills. Where does it come from? It comes from the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your generosity and kindness to us and to your people. Let's continue reading Psalm 103. There she is now. She is getting better. She's had some operations and she's getting better. We actually expected her to die last year. We sent some money for her to buy presents and write notes to her children to say, well, look, I'm going, this is it, you know, all the best kids, you know, stay with the Lord. But she's still going. So as of today, things are well. And that's Sharon there, who's a nurse in Logan in Brisbane here, who's Joshua Prayer, and that's the church that we're sort of partners with in the Philippines. This is all in Manila, Philippines. If we go on a mission trip one time, some of you might like to come along. So let's continue on with Psalm 103. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the son of Israel. Listen to verse 8 now. This is the character of God. As we go through these next few verses, we see a little bit about God's heart and God's character. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. Hang on a minute. I thought God's out to get me. I thought he's angry at me because of my sins, and I've got to try to prove myself, and I've got to try to keep myself in order. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. Knowing that, God then shares a little bit of his heart. He will not always strive or contend and plead a case with us, nor will he keep his anger or hold a grudge. You see, God is holy and righteous. And the fact is, sin needs to be dealt with. Sin needs to be dealt with. God can't say, boys will be boys, and just let them off. You'll be right. Yeah, look, that's just what boys do. No, the holiness, righteous side of God cries out for justice. Cries out for justice and properness. Yet, at the same time, God loves us. So, if the soul that sins shall die, that is the sentence for when you sin. You're on your way out. But God loved us. What to do? On one hand, there's something gone wrong and it needs to be punished, and the punishment sentence is death. But on the other hand, I love you and I still want relationship with you. I still, you know, the dilemma, the catch 22, the conundrum, how is it solved? And God in his wisdom solved it at the cross. And those people that come to the church here will know that Jesus, God, the word is propitiation. God himself made a lamb. God himself made a sacrifice. God himself provided all that he needs to provide to settle his case, to settle his grudge that he had. He himself satisfied that. Isn't that beautiful to know? What love is this? That God himself did that. And therefore, he can now favour us because he no longer holds that. And really, he can now love us as much as he loved Jesus. Amen? He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, that's pretty vast, so great is his loving kindness towards those who worship him. As far as the east is from the west, that's distance, people, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. If you keep walking east, you'll never hit west because you're always going east. If you're always going west, you'll be always going west. You will never, ever, 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 ever see your sins. That's how far. Hey, look, when we got some issues, don't we? We go, oh boy, I wish I had a bit of distance between that situation. We always want distance, don't we? Well, God has put distance between our sins and him. Isn't that beautiful to know? And as far as the heavens from the earth is his loving kindness towards us. And he has not dealt with us according to our sins. So we're going to have a little look at that. I'll just finish off. So far as he's removed transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who worship him. For he himself knows our frame, he is mindful that we are dust. I just want us to look at the life of Rahab. Now the Bible says that Rahab was a harlot or a prostitute, and she lived in the city of Jericho. And as you know, the children of Israel had come out of Egypt, and God had given them that city, and they were walking towards it. So let's just see what happens here. So Joshua the son of Nun sent two men as spies strictly from Shittim, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came into the house of the harlot, whose name was Rahab, and lodged there. It was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men from the sons of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land. And the king of Jericho sent word to Rahab, saying, bring out the men you have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them and said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. It came about when it was time to shut the gate at dark that the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for they will overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hid them in the stalks of flax which she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued them on the road to the Jordan, to the fords, and as soon as they were assumed them had gone, they shut the gate. Now before they lay down, she came up on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were before you, the Jordan and Sihon, whom you utterly destroyed. When we heard it, our hearts melted, and no courage remained any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, he is the God in heaven and above and on earth beneath. Now therefore, please swear to me by the Lord, since I have dealt kindly with you, that you also will deal kindly with my father's household, and give me a pledge of truth, and spare my father and my mother and my brothers and sisters with you, all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from the death. So the men said to her, our life for yours if you do not tell this business of ours. And it shall come about when the Lord gives us the land that we will deal kindly and faithfully with you. Rahab had heard, and yet the children of Israel were reluctant to go into this land because of the giants. And that was 38 years ago. And because of their unbelief, they didn't go in. Yet here Rahab had heard how the Lord had done all these things, and she even declares their God, the God of heaven and earth. She declares that their God is the true and living God. And she is asked for them to be looked after. And she let them down by the rope and said to them, go to your hill country so the pursuers will not happen upon you, and hide yourselves for these 3 days until the pursuers return. Then afterwards you may go your way. Then the man said to her, we shall be free from this oath to which you have made us swear, unless when we come into land you lay this cord of scarlet thread in the window through which you let us down, and gather yourself into your house, your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household. It shall come about that anyone who goes into the doors of your house, into the streets, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be free. But anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. But if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be free from the oath which you have made us swear. She said, according to your word, so be it. So she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord to the window. God said to the children of Israel, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The blood was not put inside the house. It was for us to look at. It was put outside for God to look at. And here, Rahab followed the orders of putting the scarlet thread there. What a woman of faith. And it says there that anyone of your household that also would come into the house will be saved. But if they decide to go outside, it's on their own head. Hey, you've got a choice here, friends. You can either stay inside, listen to the word of what's been spoken, believe it and receive it, and have the life-giving nature that that word gives you, or you're free to go outside if you wish, but the blood will be upon your own head of what happens to you. It's all your own decisions. That's your choice. And here we have Rahab the harlot, the prostitute. Here's the God's word. Believes that their God, Israel's God, is the true God of heaven and earth. And later on, we all of you read the Bible, so you know what happens. Joshua says in chapter 6, the city shall be under the ban. It is all that in it belongs to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot and all who are with her in the house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. So they went in, and it says, and they brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brothers and all she had. They also brought out her relatives and placed them outside the camp of Israel. They burnt the city with fire and all that was in it, only the silver and gold, the articles of bronze and iron they put in the treasury of the house of the Lord. However, Rahab the harlot and her father's household and all that she had, Joshua spared, and she has lived in the midst of Israel to this day, for she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. What a beautiful picture. Rahab the harlot, God dealt with her because of her faith. She was dealt because she believed. despite being a harlot. What sure kindness and loving kindness is the Lord towards us. If God had dealt with all of us according to our sins, well, there's no hope for any of us. But when we choose to believe in his kindness and goodness and his procedures and his way of doing things, then we find that not only was Rahab saved, but all that would listen to her was saved at the same time. Amen. And she got to live in the midst of Israel. We get to live in the midst with our Lord. Jesus is in the midst, and I want to be there with him, because I'll tell you what, he only you have the words of life, Lord, and we want to be listening and hearing those beautiful words of life. And apparently later on we find out that Rahab, she marries one of the high officials of Joshua. So what a turnaround of her life, known as a harlot, now married to one of the officials. Goes to show your past does not need to determine your future. Amen. Thank you, Lord. She was saved by faith and dealt by faith and not sin. When Jesus was on earth, the sinners could receive his grace. Yet the religious could not receive nothing, as they still hold a law mindset. After Jesus had taken the scroll and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he's anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, to set the captives free, to open prison doors, and to declare that it is now, now is the acceptable time of the Lord." The people there, because of their law mindset, saw Jesus just, hey, isn't that the son of Joseph? Look, they just saw him in his human form. They didn't see that there was something greater about him. And yet Jesus said these words. He says, you know, in the days of Elijah, there was a widow, and she's not even part of the children of Israel. Yet he went to her, and she experienced provision. And hey, there was Naaman, a Syrian, who was a leader, and Elisha went to him, and he experienced healing. What Jesus was trying to get across, hey, this isn't about whether you're part of the special chosen people and you're keeping the law and trying to perform and trying to please. It's about whether you believe. Will you believe? Will you believe? The widow received, Naaman received. Will you believe? I love that concept, that even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. You see, with a lot of other religions, it's all about trying to appease the angry God, or trying to appease the condemnation we feel within ourselves by trying to perform and doing things. There you go, God. Are you pleased with me now? I've prayed 3 times. I've fasted. I've declared. I've gone and been a missionary. I've done this. I've done that. Are you now pleased with me? Is this good enough? The law mindset leads you into performance. But we know that even while we weren't thinking of him, he was thinking of us. And that he provided the sacrifice. He did the work. And he died for us, yet while we were sinners. Over here, you can be continuing in your performance, and that is what most religions are all about, performance and trying to please the gods. But what's beautiful about true Christianity, true Bible believing, is that it's a matter of faith and believing in the work that was finished that God has done. Over there, it's doing. Over here, it's done. Resting back on the bosom of that love that God has for us. That he does not deal with us according to our sins, but in his loving kindness, he made a way of escape. He came and rescued us. And therefore, with David, we can be like David and said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not his benefits, who has forgiven me of all my sins, who heals me of my diseases, who redeems my life, who favours me with his loving kindness and tender mercies, and ornaments my life and satisfies it till the fullest, 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 fullest that it could ever be satisfied with all of his goodness." And boy, do I feel renewed Do I feel energized? Do I feel like I've got my roar back in life? Thank you, Father. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he good? And look at how he treated Rahab, the harlot. The kindness of God leads us to repentance. Thank you, Lord. You truly are good. You truly are kind. I know it said, many roads lead to Rome. Many roads lead to Rome. Friends, we're not going to Rome. I want to be connected to heaven. And there's only one road that can connect us to heaven. And like all of us, I myself, a Westerner living in Australia, needs to humble myself. Well, God of heaven and earth, how have you set this up? And he said, there's only one mediator between man and God, and that mediator is Jesus Christ. It is only in Jesus Christ that we are connected to heaven. Rome has come and gone. Empires of the world will rise up and go. But the Lord's kingdom will always remain. And what security we can have, what comfort we can have to know that Jesus Christ has remained that mediator between me and the Father and connected me to heaven. How beautiful is that to know that? Thank you, Lord. God is no respecter of persons. It's not that you must be rich, God will love you. If you're poor, God will love you more. If you're a woman, God will love you more. If you're a man, God will love you. If you're an Israelite, God will love you. If you're an Asian, God will love you. If you're an Australian. No, God is no respecter of persons. God will move mountains and travel over the farthest fields to help the man who is looking to him and looks to him in faith and believing, yes, I love you, Lord. I love what you have. And it's, blessed are those, all the nations will be blessed in you with those of believing Abraham. It's not about works and performance. It's about our believing. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of a field, so his flourishes. When the wind has passed over, it's no more. And its place acknowledges it no longer. Yes, our life on earth might be like the flower. Here one day, gone the next. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who worship him, and his righteousness to children's children. Thank you, Lord. Your loving kindness is on me, and let it keep going in my family line. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who performs his word, obeying the voice of his word. Thank you, Lord, you've got angels obeying your voice, on working on my behalf to minister for me, getting me business class seats on the planes. Thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord, all you hosts, all who serve him and do his will. Bless the Lord, all you works of his, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Thank you, Lord. Hey, Armin, maybe we can invite you and Viv back, and we'll close with a song and some prayer, right?